Welcome to the Toffee Blues, your source for all things Everton, and welcome to another podcast where, as always, I'm joined by none other than Terry McAllister. We'll be starting off as usual on this show with the extra time segment where we're going to look back on our satisfying 2-1 win over Leicester City. Then, following Everton's release of the new Hummel home strip ahead of the 2020-21 season, Teddy and I are going to do a bit of a kit review, if you like, and we're going to dissect the inaugural Hummel Everton kit. And then we'll be joined by Thomas Robertson later on to look ahead to our upcoming Monday night fixture against Tottenham Hotspur in another match preview segment. As you know, the segments are separate videos on YouTube, so I'm going to introduce them respectively as we move on. So without further ado, we'll crack on. We'll get straight into it with another chance to go over Wednesday's win against Leicester. Welcome to the extra time segment for Everton 2, Leicester City 1. Everton, like I said yesterday, make it 7 points out of 9. Wasn't done the easy way, nonetheless. It was a very Everton performance in that respect. And I've got Terry with me to run the rule over it. What did you think of the game, Terry? It was a game of two halves, to use that cliche, wasn't it?
Yeah, definitely. It was not a stress-free watch. It was very hard on the blood pressure to watch it. I've got to be honest, because I was nervous all the way from about 30 minutes on. Would you say it was a game of two halves? I felt like it was in three blocks of half an hour, and we had the better of the first half an hour, and then we just defended for the second half an hour and the last half hour. But 3 points is all that matters, and another good performance from Carlo Ancelotti and the defence, if nobody else in the team, because defensively we were excellent again, and the substitutions absolutely changed the game. And it was strange watching an Everton team in recent times having good game management, which is what we had with those substitutions.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I'd have been the only one when Leicester scored who was absolutely shaking with nerves, wondering what the next worst case scenario could be given what we've already experienced against Newcastle this season.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's not to say, you know, those things can't happen again, but it was very refreshing and sign of a very good change that we didn't just collapse after that goal. How many times in the last couple of seasons have you seen Everton concede in that scenario or in that fashion? And concede another one straight away, and then they're on the back foot then clinging on to a point of a game they were winning.
Definitely.
Really, really good performance from the whole back four again. Pickford not as good this time. He had a 10-minute spell where he was causing absolute panic in the back, but thankfully wasn't punished for it.
I think I gave him a bit of a vote of confidence. It was on one of our shows last weekend, and I was saying he's been quite mature since the restart, and he's been less erratic and been a lot more composed and stopped pulling stupid faces and stuff. And he seems to just like go back on all of that in that sort of 10-minute spell you're on about, which is, you know, it's a bit annoying. You know, I've got a bit of egg on my face now, so thanks for that, Jordan.
It didn't cost us in the end, and any keeper can make a mistake, but it's not even the mistakes so as much of Pickford, it's his attitude like towards them. He laughs when he near costs us goals, and it's just like,
come on, mate, get a grip.
You make a mess. Yeah, Gary Neville's criticised them before for that, laughing when he's made a big error, and he's just going, it's not funny, and it isn't funny. But thankfully Michael Keane was on hand to spare his blushes, because obviously he got away with that one, and obviously got the results, so it's easy to be very forgiving when you've won, isn't it?
It is, yeah, but let's just make sure it doesn't happen again. But unfortunately with Jordan Pickford, it seems like it will happen again, because it's just his nature, seems to laugh at his errors. But yeah, Michael Keane again, I think Sky gave him the man of the match, and I think I wouldn't tear my nose up at that, because it was another fantastic display from him, wasn't it?
Yeah, he's been brilliant since he came back. He was only just edged out for the man of the match against Liverpool by, I think it was, Mason Holgate. But he was probably second for man of the match that game. He got the man of the match against Norwich, and he was man of the match this game. He's been our top performer since we came back. Oh no, I tell a lie, it was Coleman against Liverpool, wasn't
Coleman,
it?
Coleman, yeah.
Yeah, which is fair enough. But Michael Keane over the three games has just been absolutely excellent. So probably to the surprise of a few people, certainly myself, I'd got to the point where I thought Michael Keane may have been, his time at Everton may have been coming to an end. 2 years left on his contract, and we're getting linked with other central defenders. But he's been brilliant since the restart. You know, obviously we've had three games where we've had to defend a lot more than we would have liked. Like, you know, Liverpool and Leicester at home. Obviously, they're not your typical home games, which we're playing against very, very good attacking teams with very, very good forwards. And then obviously away from home, we've got that sort of workmanlike performance against Norwich. So the games have suited them, but he's been absolutely fantastic, and, you know, all credit to him.
Yeah, it was another great defensive display in spite of the first goal we conceded since the restart, which was an interesting one, wasn't it? I mean, it was a half-back to... I don't know, it was a half-back to Marco Silva a little bit. That wasn't it, just kicking the ball in off someone's head. It was the kind of goal where normally you'd say, oh, typical Everton, but thankfully we didn't capitulate, like you say. And, you know, we'll go back into the first half and we'll look at a few positives, let's say, because we actually did start the game pretty well. I mean, Leicester had most of the ball, but we were really dangerous on the counter-attack, weren't we?
Yeah, well, we seem to have set ourselves up like that now. Obviously, it might, you know, we get even better when we get better players to execute it. But given the players that Carlo's got, I think, you know, defending resolutely and trying to hit on the break with our, you know, our forwards who are very good, you know, very quick forwards who can, you know, connect well together. That seems to be how we're getting most of our joy. So the first goal. Really good. You know, Luca Dean does really well to keep it in. Not just keep it in, but, you know, that header is almost perfectly weighted and perfectly placed into the path of Anthony Gordon. Obviously, you know, finally gets a chance to show what he can do going forward, because every time he's played since the restart, he's been, you know, having to do a defensive job first and foremost, whereas in this game, he got to get on the ball a little bit more. You know, brilliant cutback. And then Richarlison, you know, bet your life. You know, one hit finish doesn't miss, does he? Great goal, and just a great flow and move. It was nice to see Anthony Gordon get the assist, and obviously Richarlison opened his account for the restart.
Yeah, it was great, and obviously we have to touch on. He picked up a knock Richarlison, didn't he? And he went off, and obviously I think that told. We struggled a bit when he went off, but how serious is it? I think Carlo said that it's not too bad.
Yeah, he said it's just a knock. He should be all right for Monday. I think is what he said in the post match, which is good. You know, obviously, a player as important as him just wrap up in cotton wool, don't have him doing anything. You know,
yeah, definitely. You
know, one of the players we cannot afford to, you know, be without. I know we've got Moyes Keane there, so it's not like we haven't got a body who could come in. But you know, he'd have to play like he did against Newcastle for every game, if in order to give us what Richarlison gives us.
You know, if that carries on, we might have to bring the ass back on a short term contract. Then let's touch on the other massive talking point of this game. Everton actually got a penalty in the Premier League.
I mean, the 38 games since the last one, so nearly half a full season of fixtures before we got given another penalty. And they had a good long look. They were trying their best not to get it to us, weren't they? But we got it, and Gylfi Sigurdsson. If he does that in a packed Goodison, it gets saved. He wouldn't get out alive.
It was
a poor penalty. I mean, as poor as one that goes in the net can be. He just sort of tamely hits it down the middle, which is great if it goes in like it did. But you know, if the keeper saves that with his feet, he'd have been a marked man. But the first penalty, and you know. Feels like in colour television, and we scored it. So, 2-0 lead, commanding. You know, obviously, I don't think many people would have expected that going into the game to, you know, go ahead.
So,
then the rest of the game was just a case of protecting what we've got. Obviously, outside of the, you know, the unfortunate mistake by Holgate, we did well. I can't think of very many chances, good chances, that. Leicester created for themselves. Obviously, they had a lot of possession, a lot of good possession. They had, you know, we had a few frights, but often it was Pickford doing it himself or Holgate smashing it against one of their players. Madison, when he came on, changed the whole game. You know, he's a great player. He came on and he just ran rampant. It took Ancelotti to make the change. You know, he brought Richarlison off, and put Tom Davies on. It wasn't a case of just Tom Davies going to do a man marking job on Maddison, because he didn't, but he went and marked that half space that Maddison was floating about in front of the back four. So every time Maddison was on the ball, he didn't have Tom Davies wearing him like a coat. He had Tom Davies right in his way whenever he wanted to carry the ball to. So he had to give it and go, and he really did a good job of nullifying his effectiveness. But the changes by Leicester did really, you know, give them the impetus. But then Carlo Ancelotti
nullified that. I think he
earned his money. He nullified it. His changes sort of like cancelled out their changes. And, you know, Maddison didn't have as good a game once Davies came on, and Iheanacho was getting a lot of joy because he obviously had a lot more energy. Vardy was terrible, wasn't he? But he had a lot more energy, a lot more better movement than Vardy. But then when Mina came on, he found Iheanacho was drifting out of the game.
Yeah, I think Carlo Ancelotti deserves a hell of a lot of credit for getting us over the line in that game, because those were very brave decisions that, you know, for a fact that a lot of our previous managers would not have made.
No, definitely not. I mean, he's really good at game management. It's obviously come from being at the bigger clubs his whole career. He recognises when things are going wrong. This is something that we've not really had in not just Marco Silva and a lot of our previous managers. Moyes is getting criticised for that at West Ham, is that he's terrible with the substitutions. He never makes enough, and when he does, they're too late. Carlo has made the changes in these games. He hasn't made a lot of changes. Maybe that's something that he doesn't think is appropriate considering the squad he's got and the lack of depth, but he's made the key changes when it matters, and he's positively affected the games each time in our favour.
Yeah, it's these are the times when you know the sort of difference in levels of a manager, and I think we've got one of the best now, and that's pretty much going to, I think that could earn us another 6 or 7 points between now and the end of the season, if you include what we've already done.
And well, this is the thing, is that Carlo's greatest strength might be able to cancel out the Everton that factor. Like when we conceded our goal and we were under the cosh, you know, everyone I think felt we're about to Everton this right up.
Yeah,
and Carlo just sort of nullified that completely. It's like, no, we're not doing this. We're not conceding quick fire goals and surrendering a 2-goal lead. I'm going to make changes and change the shape and take the game back out of their hands.
It was very, very refreshing to see, because it's not something, like you say, we've not experienced that kind of composure for a long, long time. And oh my God, it's a good feeling, isn't it? You know, I didn't think Everton had it in them to see a game out like that.
No, I know. I mean, it's good to, you know, we're going into these games now against, because let's be honest, former sides, currently Leicester are better than us and Liverpool certainly are better than us, but it's good to go into these games against the better teams at the minute and not think, oh, we'll be lucky to get anything here. You know, like, we're going in with genuine, with a genuine view that we can get results in these games. And the next step now is to start putting away the teams who are not as good as us, and they do the low block themselves and just want to counter. We haven't had, much opportunity for that. Obviously, we had Norwich away, and, it was a very...
But Norwich are also playing for the 3 points because they needed to stay up. But...
Yeah, it's a gradual process, and the signs so far are good from Carlo. Good since the restart. Got to build on that now. We've got is it Tottenham or Wolves?
Spurs next.
Obviously that's not easy because they've got a good manager as well. In Jose Mourinho, I don't think he'll be caught napping quite like Rodgers was, but. I mean, we've got to put ourselves right in the mix for that Europe conversation. Now, that can change game on game. But if you keep winning, keep getting good results, then you're right in the mix. We it's not an unrealistic shout now to think we're in there. Bad result for somewhere else and a good result for us can change it dramatically. It's very, very tight outside the top two. No.
Yeah, it's up for grabs, isn't it? I mean, just before we finish, we talked about Tom Davies before. I thought he was great in the derby, and then he was absolutely horrific in the Norwich game. I thought he come on and did brilliantly yesterday.
Yeah, he did a good job for what he was, you know, asked to do. This is the thing with Tom, he's always been a bit like this, hasn't he? Like, he'll have, you know, a few good games, a few bad games, then a few good games, then a few bad games, or, like, you know, he's never got any consistency. And that's just something he needs, you know, to work on. But, you know, the examples are there. Like, at the start of the season, not many people would have thought that at the end of the season, we'll look upon Calvert-Lewin and Holgate as two of our absolutely nailed-on starters and two of our strongest players. But here we are, you know, like a year later, and that's what they are. And, like, so it's not to say every young player can do that, but it shows that, it, you know, it can turn around very quickly for a young player. So Tom Davies has got the opportunity now, especially in these last, you know, run of games before the transfer market opens, when we are going to be buying centre midfielders. At least you'd hope so. He's got to say, right, I need to absolutely smash it in these games, and I can make myself, you know, an option in that middle of the pitch. Now, if he plays well in the rest of the games, then you'll just look at that Norwich game as like an anomaly. But if he plays poorly against Spurs, then comes back and plays well again the next game, it'll show he's not ready. And, you know, obviously he might not be looked at or trusted as one of the options for centre midfield. But if he can put a run of performances together now to go along with Leicester and Liverpool, then, you know, he's in that mix. It's right there for him. Same way with Holgate. Holgate made the most of his opportunity when we didn't get Zouma. Davies needs to do the same now.
Definitely. And one more in focus, if you like, Calvert-Lewin. He was isolated after Richarlison went off, and he still doesn't half put a shift in, doesn't he?
The ultimate team player, isn't he? Like, he hasn't had much in the way of opportunities since he came back. Obviously, that owes a lot to the, you know, the way that the performance of the whole team. You know, we've been playing, you know, very, you know, defensively and set back, and you know, trying to hit on the counter. And then yesterday, when he might have got a little bit more joy, you know, his strike partner went off, so he found himself on his own. But it doesn't affect him. You know, he's still working hard. He's still putting in the yard, so he can do both. Like, I'd like him to get a goal in the next few games, not for our sake, because we're still playing well, but more for his sake, you know, just to get his confidence back up. But yeah, can't criticise him. He's not had, you know, he could have done maybe better with the header against Liverpool, but, you know, he's worked hard every single game, and he's contributed to what were good team performances in each game towards getting the result. Because if he's not busting a gut every game, then the defence might find itself, you know, crack under pressure. He's the first defender in a lot of cases, and I think he's really, really helped us out, especially in this game. He was flopping himself, like, you know, as we were defending in that last half an hour.
But we'll have to reiterate this, because just for the maybe some Liverpool fans out there, he's not a defensive striker, is he?
If defensive strikers are a thing, I think he is one. But
not bad for a defensive striker. He's got 13 goals this season.
No, not at all. But he'll have easier games. Like, the when he's up front on his own, he's not gonna score the goals. He's just not, because if you know his stats don't bear that out. Like, he's great at everything, you know, except dribbling past players. I think he's got one of the worst stats for dribbling past players in the whole league. And that's because it's not his forte. I don't know whether he hasn't got the ability or he hasn't got the confidence to pick up the ball and go past someone. But if you get players up and around him to work with, little, you know, 1-2s around the corner, balls, crosses in, he will score goals. But playing that, you know, lone front man, he won't fashion himself his own chances. That's more Richarlison's department. So if we can get them back together in the next game, then, you know, hopefully the goals will come for him.
Definitely. I mean, that's what we've got to look at going forward now, is to try and keep the good form going, because I don't think I remember us talking about this when before the season we started, and I was very scared about how this team might function without fans. But to get, you know, 2 wins out of 3, 7 points out of 9, you cannot argue with that, really.
No, not at all. I always wondered, you know, is the crowd's anxiousness and angst like a problem for the players? And the only one you could definitely say anything to is, like, it clearly has helped Moyes Keane, Michael Keane.
Yeah.
Michael Keane plays a lot better without the crowd. So maybe we shouldn't go back. And we'll defend like the AC Milan teams of old every time.
That's it. Maybe our fortunes are beginning to turn. Oh my god! I missed that shout though. I'll be honest. That's the one thing you just want to get back in the ground today. That for the first time again.
It's crazy.
It's just so beautifully scouts, isn't it? And I mean, but there you go, guys. That's Everton 2, Leicester City 1. Let us know how we thought the game went. We've just seen the new kit for the first time. Like I say, it's the first ever Everton kit to be released by Hummel and also the first to bear the Cazoo sponsorship on the front as well. What do you think about this one, Terry? It's not a bad effort. First time around for Hummel with Everton, and they've done us proud, I think, with that one. It's not bad at all, is it?
No, I'm a big fan. I'm still looking at it now. It's brilliant. Like, I'm a big fan of it. I'm of the opinion that less is more. Like, you know, simple, like, you know, sort of simple design, simple effects. I'm a big fan of it. So obviously, let's have a look at it. We've got, you know, it's blue. Imagine that. Few little notes of detail. We've obviously got the chevrons, four white chevrons down the sleeves. White trim at the end of the sleeves, which is nice. Not too much though, like, you know, the Nike one of years gone by where big massive white bars, it's only very small trim.
That was grim.
Bear in mind was the Hummel have used their Bumblebee logo rather than just the words.
Yeah, I think both of us were being proper sad cases over this the last couple of days where we were like, we'd better use the B logo instead of just writing Hummel on it. It's like, it does. It adds another level of class to it, I think, having the actual B logo on it as well. I think it looks brilliant. For a first effort from Hummel, it's one of the best kits we've had in years, if you'd ask me.
Yeah, definitely. It's certainly my favourite since, well, probably about my favourite, you know, ever kit, which is...
there's a second season. I think everybody was
the Navy Socks year, basically. That was my favourite kit that we've had, and this is my favourite since then. Just on the socks. The socks are white, they're not navy, so
we're back to the Walton white socks.
Yeah, blue, white, white for the shorts and socks combo. Next, a round neck with like a little, it's like almost like a V, but tiny little like detail. It's not like a V like we've had before. It's just a round neck with like a sort of stitching detail that goes down into a small V. And then obviously they've got like that, I don't know, what would you call it? Almost like pinstripe effect.
Diagonal pinstripe in it, yeah.
Yeah, but it's very subtle. It's not very obvious, but I'm a big fan. Very, very classy, very simple design. But
it's a very, very Everton. It's an iconic Everton kit that I think it's like the subtle kits of old, isn't it? It's like you say, less is more, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very happy with it. Hummel obviously have got no track record with Everton, and they were the only club in the Premier League who've got Hummel, but I think that will be one of the nicer kits of the year. It's very, very nice. I mean, you've seen some of the mad things that Hummel have done. Sorry, I keep looking at the kits on my phone off screen. If you wonder what I'm looking at, I'm really happy with it. I'm a big fan of it. I'm obviously a bit of a kit bore, you know, like I don't wear them because they don't do them in sizes that fit our players, but I'm a big fan of it and what it looks like. It's a little interest of mine, and I think that is one of the nicest kits we've had for a long time.
That's probably my favourite I like the Mahrez a second season, but that's one of the best I can recall, to be honest with you. I think it's fantastic.
I'll come out and say, I think it's probably just, it's up there with that. It's probably on level playing field, because I am really happy with that. Obviously, the Cazoo logo,
I think the Cazoo logo suits it. I think it's a massive upgrade on Sport Pezzard when you look at the kit.
Yeah, it's not you know, vastly different than Sport Pezzard. It's still just the white logo across the chest, but it looks more like a real company now. It looks more like a logo, whereas Sport Pezzard looked like, you know, someone had just knocked it up in like 10 seconds on you know, MS Paint, didn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, Big fan of it, big fan of it. Like, you know, it's top marks for Hummel for the first kit of their deal. I'm really happy with that.
Yeah, it's, I think they've done a fantastic first effort there. You know, it's so easy to... I think when people saw we were getting Hummel, I think a lot of people were fearful of maybe the overusing the chevrons or maybe something a bit like the Denmark kit with a different shade. I think they've been really, really subtle, and I think it's incredibly classy from them. I think every element of this kit is absolutely spot on. I don't think they could have done much better.
No, I'm the same. It's a 10 out of 10 for me for Hummel. So long may that continue into the away kit, the third kit. Obviously, we've not touched on the goalkeeper kit, which is a light green.
It's a light green, yeah.
And it's got, if you look closely, a design on it, which accurately, you know, represents what your heart rate does when Pickford's having one of his games. I mean, that's a nice kit as well. It's obviously, that's not too loud, but it's more in the sort of like the funky Hummel like departments where they've got like, you know, strange prints and all that. That's what they've done here, but not gone overboard with it. But yeah, that is the Jordan Pickford kit. It's that's your heart rate kit.
That's definitely watching Pickford trying to catch across that, isn't it?
That's what my heart did in the last game when he
when Michael Keane had to clear it off the line.
honest to God,
I think they've absolutely smashed it off the park there. I wasn't expecting it to be that like spot on.
Yeah, I'm very happy. I'm very happy. Obviously, you get that sort of, you know, worry that, oh, I hope the kit's not terrible because you've got to look at it all year, but that is really nice. I'm a big fan of that.
I'm a massive fan of that. I might be putting my hand in my pocket for that one, actually. It's a very, very good kit. I mean, I'm pretty frugal normally, but this is a very nice kit, and I might just get that one because...
Even inspire me to lose a bit of weight so I can wear it. I don't know. Could be a lifesaver, that kit.
But see what, though, Hummel, like... You know, they've been brilliant with the fans as well, haven't they, on Twitter and doing teasing it. I think it's all been worth it in the end with this because, you know, it's got out, all the fans have been anticipating and they've actually delivered. It's brilliant to see. And it seems like the relationship between Hummel and the fans is better than anything we ever had with any of our previous kit suppliers.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely.
So, yeah, I think so far as, you know, fan interaction, and then of course the new kits are concerned. I think it's a 10 out of 10 for Hummel, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And if anyone does want to buy it, what can they do, James?
It's up for pre-order today, isn't it?
Yeah, available for pre-order today. And what code can they put in if they do go and pre-order it today?
Yeah, it's Toffee Blues 10, which you can get a discount courtesy of the Toffee Blues if you... Yeah, you put in it's all in caps, Toffee Blues 10. I think that gets you.
So 10, if you go,
I think it's 10% off, isn't it?
Yeah, 10% off if you put Toffee Blues 10 in as the promo codes when you either pre-order or order it. You know, just give a little shave off the price, which would be quite nice, wouldn't it, if you're going to buy it? And let's be honest, why wouldn't you buy it? It's easily our nicest kit for a long term.
Yeah, I mean, I'll certainly be making the most of it.
Definitely. I mean, no way Jet on training shorts with zips, but I'm looking intently.
I mean, it makes you wonder, though, you know, Hummel have been made a beautifully classy and quite understated Everton kit, the way we love our home kits. You've got to expect that they've saved a bit of eccentricity for these away kits now, haven't you?
Oh yeah, I'm fine with that. Yeah, that's my thought. The home kits have got to be classy, simple, but you can go mad with the away kits for me. I'm all for a jazzy away kit.
I mean, just stop short of that 97-98 away kit. I just don't want that yellow and blue stripe one with 1-1 on again. That was just unbearable.
You've jinxed it now. That's exactly what we're going to get.
But, but instead, it's going to be chevrons. But honest to God, though, I don't think anyone could have expected them to, like, do this well from the first go. They've blown pretty much everything Umbro or Lecoq or anybody have done for quite some time. It's an absolutely brilliant effort, and full marks to Hummel. I think it's Hopefully the start absolutely. Of a really good relationship with the Danes. I think it's a very, very pleasant surprise to instantly look at an Everton kit and go, hell yeah, I might actually buy that.
Nice that.
Yeah, nice that. It's like, literally the Everton reaction to everything, which is, well, everything these days, it seems like maybe things are finally heading in the right direction. Maybe if the kit the massive improvements in the kit can lead to a massive improvement on the pitch, you never know.
Well, one thing at a time, eh?
Baby steps. Welcome to the match preview segment for Everton's next Premier League game, which is an away game at Tottenham in their new stadium, whatever the hell it's called. That's on Monday night. To look ahead to that, I've got Terry and Thomas alongside me. We'll get straight into the meaty stuff, save for maybe if anyone wants to tell me what the name of Spurs' new stadium is.
Just like Tottenham. The news. Yeah, that's what it is. Just Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Yeah.
I think they're looking for a naming rights deal, but obviously that'll have been put on the back burner because of the pandemic or what have you. But they built it without the names sold off, but I think it is for sale.
Okay. So, as for now, it's just the poor man's Bramley Moor dock here.
What I've heard, it's meant to be an unbelievable stadium, but no name, frankly. I'd imagine just the Everton Stadium would be a bit naff, wouldn't it? Like, I mean, yeah. I know some people might like that, or rather have that than, you know, USM Arena, which is probably what ours is going to be. Yeah, but you don't get any money. We're calling it the Everton Stadium and money's the name of the game, innit?
That's it, yeah. I mean, if only you could sponsor yourself. I mean, it's not like we're totally doing that anyway.
If only you could do that.
I know.
Like put megaphone on the side of your training kit and on the training ground, which only staff and players see. It's going to sponsor the canteen to the tune of a few million as well soon, I think.
Yeah. Nah, nothing wrong with that if you ask me. Perfectly
coached.
Right, we'll get straight into the match preview anyway. Thomas, we'll start with you. How would you feel going into this game against Spurs?
I'm a lot more confident after last night, obviously, because at the time recording was the Sheffield United game, and they looked awful. After the VAR decision went against them, Spurs' heads just massively dropped. I thought their defending was abysmal. I think it's the second goal where someone squared it to Robinson, I think it was in the middle of Moussa, and there was no one tracking him at all, and it looks a bit almost like, you know, like kind of end of Marco Silva-esque. And I think if we can just get on top and get an early goal as we did against Leicester, we'll be comfortable, to be fair. I think before that, Spurs, they'd had a decent start, obviously a draw against United, then beating West Ham, which is obviously a big game for them. But then the capitulation last night, I just think shows they're basically as fragile mentally as we used to be pretty much before Ancelotti. So I think if we get an early goal, I think as it showed last night, they'll kind of capitulate, and I think we could control the game from there, especially with obviously our newfound kind of defensive ability, which we never used to have.
Certainly. What do you think, Terry? Do you think we could maybe edge this one? I know we're not great away from home normally, but we won the last away game, albeit against the bottom team. Tottenham will be a tougher task than that, you'd imagine, but, you know, like Thomas has just said, they're no great shake themselves at the moment. Do you think we can win this one?
Yeah, I definitely think we can. I'm not usually confident going into games. I wouldn't say I'm going into this one thinking, oh yeah, we'll win this one. But we seem to be playing them at the right time because they're in the middle of their Jose show, aren't they? Where, you know, he's fighting with players publicly and he's calling them out and he's picking on one player in particular, and, you know, the results are going against them, you know, and you wonder whether the players are trying to get rid of them, and all the circus which just sort of comes with the latter-day Jose Mourinho. We're playing them right in the middle of that. Doesn't mean they haven't got good players, doesn't mean, you know, they can't score goals and haven't got a vastly, you know, better central midfield than we have. All those things won't change just because they're at war with their own manager, it seems. But, when it comes to the narrative of the Premier League, these are the type of games that you'd go into and think, you know, I could see us getting a result here, see us winning or drawing and, you know, coming away. And then Jose's under more pressure and he's kicking off in the press conference afterwards and all that. So I, if you're going to play a team with players as good as Tottenham, you want it to be while they're at war with themselves, which I think they very much are.
I think you spoke there about the narrative of the Premier League and how often, you know, these kind of scenarios can come about where you can pile the pressure on an already under fire manager. But too often the narrative in the past has been Everton going into games where they think they can stake a claim and never deliver. Could it be different this time with Ancelotti in charge and the, like Thomas said, the more defensive steel maybe that we've got nowadays?
Yeah, I mean, baby steps. You couldn't turn around and say, well, we've got this good manager now, so, you know, we don't bottle things anymore. Like, we're still the same players, you know, you've still got that in you, but we can start, you know, hopefully see the green shoots of progress. You know, we finally got a good manager, not like a novice manager or a journeyman manager. You know, he's an actual quality manager, and that could be the thing that we needed to start to edge away and move away from this like mentality problem we've got. Look at the Leicester game. We were really unlucky to concede. We were playing really well defensively, all doing our job. Same as with Liverpool. Mason Holgate mistimes his attack on the ball. He goes to smash it clear, hits it right against the face of the opposition striker, goes in the net. You know, 9 times out of 10 previously, we crumble there and go on to concede another in quick succession and then probably go on to lose that game.
Without a shadow of doubt.
Yeah, definitely. Carlo Ancelotti addressed the problem when he saw the team starting to wobble, made tactical changes, changed the personnel, and we weathered the game out. So that nous is going to be very important if we're going to get results away. You know, we don't get many away results in general. So to get one at a top six, like everyone says traditional top six, well, the traditional top six includes Everton, so I don't know what's traditional about it, but we don't get results away at the Sky Six.
I've stopped calling it the top six now, I just call it the establishment.
Yeah, the Sky Six, it's the six teams, even though they're not the six teams this season and, you know, haven't been for a while. We don't get results against those teams, though, away from home. Even going all the way back to Moyes, I've never seen us be strong away from home in the Premier League against these, you know, which what are better clubs and better teams. But it has to start. It has to end somewhere, and why not now? It has to start getting better.
Yeah, I think this is the opportunities that we need to take, especially in away games without fans. I think these are the times where you really want to claim these kind of scalps, because you're not quite as much of a disadvantage as you might be normally. I think it's definitely the opportunity to end those runs. When did we last beat a top 16 away from home or established six?
Must have been United, wasn't it, with Brian O'Hare ago? That's 7 years ago. Yeah. So, but I think, I mean, there's been so many opportunities over the years for us to break it, really, and we haven't. Like, we're still in this position. But to be fair, I think as opportunities go, you know, they're in disarray. You know, the players don't seem to be playing for the manager. Obviously, he's done the classic. Yeah, as Terry said, single out one player. You know, it's Luke Shaw at United, now it's Ndombele at Spurs. I think if there was ever a time to play them, it would be now. And I'm quietly confident. I don't know how, like, actually quiet I am in my confidence, but like I definitely think that if there has to be a time, because I mean this record can't go on forever. I mean, if it's 7 years, if we're like actually remembering rightly, then it has to end at some point. And especially now, because away games have always been a problem for us, but obviously there's no fans there now. That makes probably a massive difference. Especially, you know, we've seen players like Michael Keane who have kind of transformed themselves with, like, you know, no one on his back, like, every game. So I think almost like away and home form seems to kind of go out the window at the moment, because, you know, there's no fans there. There's no one else kind of.
There's no such thing as home and away form, but there's just form. And our form is better than Spurs going into this.
Because I think it was.
Go on, sorry, Thomas.
It's just because I think there was the Bundesliga stat, wasn't there, where it was only like 20% of the home teams had like won their game since the restart. Like, I think that just shows if there's ever time to actually like break this duck that we've got, it has to be now when there is no fans and there's no such thing as a home advantage.
It's also our last game against one of the established six this season. This is our last opportunity to do it. This might be our only opportunity to do it without fans in the ground. So it's a massive game. And let's not forget, I think Spurs lost to Sheffield United If we win, we go above Spurs. So that's an incentive in itself, and that should really motivate the fans. Sorry, motivate the players, if you'd ask me.
If there was ever a game which was kind of like pivotal to kind of if we do want to get Europe, I think this would pretty much be it now. If Spurs beat us, well, what, 4 points behind them? Obviously, it's a mess at the moment because no one knows about City's European ban. And, you know, there's just teams everywhere on the same points. But I think if we really, really kind of want to, like, rubber stamp ourselves as kind of going for Europe this season, I think this is probably the game. Because after this, I mean, no disrespect to other sides, but this is our biggest game for the rest of the season. So I think it has to be now rather than, you know, the next four games or whatever left.
I mean, we also have Wolves to play who are above us as well. But I don't think we'll overtake Wolves. I think if there's a team we've got to play who we can overtake. Well, we've got Sheffield United as well. But this is the crunch match, I think, if we want to get into Europe. And you can say like the Tottenham players are at war and whatever you like, but it's up to Everton players to turn up. And in fairness, the Everton players so far have turned up in the three games we've had. So we've just got to hope that we keep on keeping on. And as far as what we've already seen is concerned, the performances haven't been fantastic. I think we can all agree on that, can't we?
Yeah, I think fitness is a massive part of that, to be fair, though. I mean, if I came back from, you know, kind of sitting around doing nothing and then come back straight play football. I mean, I think against Leicester, I think was a brilliant test of our fitness, to be fair, to defend for as long as we did. And defend that solidly, obviously conceding that free goal that Terry mentioned. I think that shows, I think we're now up to the fitness level where we can compete in, you know, games like this. And as you said about Wolves there, I feel like it was kind of a mess for the European race, but I feel like almost like Wolves, United and Chelsea are all kind of going for, if there's one or two Champions League places, and then it's kind of like the rest for whichever Europa League places. So I feel like this is probably our biggest game for the rest of the season in terms of Europa League, I think.
Certainly, and I think looking ahead, I think we need to start staking these claims. These are the kind of games where there was a lot riding on it, where we always seem to cave in. Like, we put together a good run of form and then we'd surrender it by losing a crucial game, and then we were back to square one, if you see what I mean. It was always seemed to be one step forward and two back. But this will be a good acid test, I think, for how far we've come under Ancelotti this season. To go into a game against a side we've had a bad record against and to maybe turn the tide a little bit. I think this is a massive game for us. And if Spurs are as much at war as you suggest, Terry, I think it could play a part, but it's up to Everton to seize the initiative then, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they're not going to give us it. Like, they've still got, you know, top players like Harry Kane, you know, Son, you know, who have you. And to be honest, they'll be looking to prove a point to Mourinho, because, you know, he's not going to be unpopular with all of them, but, you know, he certainly will with some of them. But we just got it. I can see it being a similar game to the Leicester and Liverpool game. You know, we're playing these, let's be honest, they are better teams than us. They've got better players. You know, we've got some good players, but they on, you know, they've got more. So we're going to have one of those, you know, sort of hard work and, you know, graft in 90 minutes. And if we can play like we did in those two games, I think, well, obviously Liverpool are, and I think Leicester probably better than Spurs, certainly this season. So if you can just, you know, repeat that again, you know, get good games out of the back four and you know, the goalkeeper again, you know, who knows what could happen. The only thing is you've got to take your chances when they come, because, you know, Jose Mourinho sides, whatever you can say about them, defend well. So if you get a chance to score, you need to take it. You won't get many others.
You say they defend well, but they didn't defend well against Sheffield United the other day.
Yeah, I suppose. But, you know, traditionally, you want to, you know, the Jose sides are hard to break down. So, I mean, it depends how he sets up. He could decide he wants to let us have all the ball, and then it's really interesting then, because, you know, we've got, you know, Gomez and Sigurdsson will be much more comfortable if they're on the ball a lot compared to if they're defending a lot. So it just depends. We know what we're going to do. Our team is very settled at the minute because of the lack of options we've got, and we know how we're going to play and how we're going to set up. Spurs, not so much. You don't really know how Spurs are going to roll in the game, and it's just a case of having to adapt to how they play on the day.
This game is literally going to be, I think, for me, I mean, regardless of how Spurs perform, I think if Spurs do turn up, then we'll have a tough game. But if Spurs don't, it's going to be the Everton team who decide how this game pans out at the end of the day, because there's times where we haven't seized the initiative enough, I think, in games where the opposition is underperforming. When I say that, I mean maybe like what Sheffield United done the other day, when maybe a team's head drop. I think sometimes we can actually give confidence back to them sometimes, and that's something that's always got on my nerves. I think that's starting to happen less under Ancelotti, and we've got to hope that that's the case again. I think if we do that, I think we've got a really good chance of winning the game.
Yeah, me too. You won't get many better chances to exercise one of the many demons that haunt the club than this. Just get a win against the good sides away, and then you can say, right, well, we beat them, we can beat others.
That's it. It's getting that sort of ball rolling, isn't it? And this is hopefully going to be the start of it this weekend. We just got to hope it. Of course, it's on Monday night, isn't it? Spurs game. But I think Carlo did his presser this morning, and that's what we're going to look into now, is obviously the team side of things. He gave a few injury updates. Jibril Sidibe's back, and Richarlison looks like he's going to be fine as well. He went off with a knock, of course, against Leicester, but he looks like he's going to be fit as well, so that's a massive boost, obviously. In case you were wondering, Jean-Philippe Aubameyang's not going to be fit for this game, and neither is Theo Walcott or Fabian Delph. Just in case you needed that clarifying. But Richarlison's back, and I think that's the one that everyone was really keeping an eye out for. And do you think he'll start the game?
Yeah,
I think so.
If he's awake, he's starting the game. There's no way. He's our best player.
Yeah, and if he needed a rest somewhere else, you've got to rest him in the games after this. If he's fit enough, he's got to be playing. We can't really be starting him on the bench at the moment. We can't afford that against a team like Spurs away.
Absolutely.
We will have to do some rotation eventually. We're playing the same like 11, 12 players every game, and we're getting away with it. But you know, we will probably see eventually, you know, Richarlison rested and like Moyes Keane start, or you know, Yeri Mina will starting games. We're going to see a little bit of rotation eventually, but not at this point. We're too. I think if we lose a game, if we lose this game, sorry, you'll start to see loads of rotation just to get fitness up, because they'll have probably decided, we start from
there. Call it a day on Europe, maybe.
Yeah, because if we lose this game, we can't afford to be losing games to the teams around us, because we're starting from further back. So we need to be making up this ground. You know, if we beat Tottenham, we're right in the mix. If Tottenham beat us, we're probably just fighting to be in the top 10 at that point, and then you can start, you know, like starting players who, you know, just need a bit of fitness and what have you. But until such a time, I don't see him rotating much unless enforced, because the games are all crucial. But he will start doing it later down the season, because there's just no way he can't.
It'd be good to see Moyes Keane start a game though, and see what he could conjure up for us.
Yeah.
If he's playing better than he did against Norwich, then I'm fine with that. I mean, he's an enigma, isn't he? He's been terrible in some games, but then he was quite good against Newcastle. It's early days for him. He's only a kid. I mean, like, I know people are sick of hearing that, but you know, Calvert-Lewin is right there as an example of if you wait and you give players time to adapt and develop, it can happen for them. Might not take as long as Calvert-Lewin. Might take longer. It might never happen, but I'd like to find out. But it doesn't mean Keane needs to be thrown in too early, because right now I think coming off the bench, when we've got two strikers who are better than him and performing better than him, I think that's the best position for him. Come on late in the game, but he needs to do better than he did against Norwich, because he wasn't good. Yeah, he harmed the team performance. He needs to be coming on and being the best player the second he gets on to make a point.
So, and I think sometimes I think he tries too hard to prove his point, and I think that led to a lot of the mistakes he made in that Norwich game. Certainly the taking players on the edge of his own area, I don't want to prove it that.
He got away with that one because he got the free kick up the pitch, but it was utter lunacy. My heart stopped when he done it. I was like, what are you doing? And yeah, it's things he needs to learn. He needs to learn quick, because he won't get away with it. You know, this season he's probably going to get away with it, because Carlo's come out and said next season's a fresh start for him. if he's still doing that next season, then it's, you know, he won't have any forgiveness from anyone at that point. But this season, I think he's getting a bit of a free pass. And,
it's a free hit, yeah.
He's lucky to get that because it's an unforgiving league, the Premier League. I think a different manager might not be the same because Carlo's got experience with, you know, so many players, and he's obviously Italian as well. He probably sat and spoke to him and said, listen, there's no rush. You need to just work hard and see what you can do.
Definitely. And I think just before we finish, there's obviously going to be a little bit of a side show going into this game. Andre Gomes is back against Son. Remember that?
I think most people have moved on from that now. I mean, I'm glad we got him back so quickly, and it definitely shouldn't be kind of the focus of the game. I know the media will love that one. I mean, the commentators will come up with this.
A few people have put it on Twitter here and there, who's going to be the player who puts one on Son in the first.
I don't think anyone's going to do that, especially not Seamus Coleman at the end of the day.
No, so, Seamus Coleman will go and give him a hug instead.
Hopefully if someone does put one on him, it's Duncan Ferguson in the warm-up anyway. I think it'll all be sweetness and love. That I think they'll all, you know, it'll be such a good show of sportsmanship. What I'd like to see is, if it's in him, because he obviously doesn't seem fit, I'd like to see Andre Gomes boss the game to sort of make the point, like, I'm back. Like, he's worked hard in these games, but he hasn't been his old self. He hasn't been that Andre Gomes of, like, the Pickford derby, where he was just a baller and none of the Liverpool players could get the ball off him. He hasn't seemed as strong or as, like, as good as that since he's come back from the injury. That's fine. It's a major injury. Players don't come back. But we were touched on the narrative of the Premier League before. Wouldn't it just be fitting if Andre Gomes came into this game and just ran the game?
Certainly. Another Portuguese player inflicting some misery on the Portuguese manager again. Score predictions, guys?
2-1, Everton. 2-1, I think it would be similar to the last game. I think we'll get 2 goals, they'll come back at us, and then we'll defend for the rest of the game. I'm happy with that, to be fair. I mean, people were complaining about Leicester performance in the second half, but I mean, I'll happily take that against a side who's third in the table, to be fair.
I mean, I'll just complain about my blood pressure, to be honest with you. But
oh yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, I was sat on the edge of my seat, but I'd much rather we did that than leave ourselves open, to be fair. And I think it might be more of that against Spurs if we do score early.
Certainly. Terry, what about you? Prediction?
No, I've just spent the last half an hour saying how we need to win and it's a good opportunity, but I'm going to go for a draw because what I think we need to do and what I think will happen are two different things. I'm going to sit on the fence and be a bit of a shithouse and go 1-1.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go slightly in between. I'm going to say we don't score that many, but I think we'll win. I'm going to go with an horrible, gritty, ugly 1-0 win. I think that's how I think we're going to go about this game, to be honest with you. I think it's not going to be pretty, but hopefully the new, improved, gritty shithouse Everton will shithouses that we have in defence now are very miserly and won't give anything away. Hopefully that might be enough, might get a clean sheet and, you know, just do enough to get the win. I think 1-0. It's going to be a tight game, though. It's going to be a very tight game, I reckon. Well, for you podcast listeners, it's the end of the show, of course. No quiz, unfortunately, today, but, of course, we have to find a song to finish the show. And given Teddy did it 2 weeks ago, I did it this week, it's time. It's going to be Thomas's turn to pick us a song to see us out. Thomas, what have you got? In store for us at the end of this show?
It's not something that I think we'll usually hear, but I'll keep it upbeat. Move On Up by Curtis Mayfield. It's obviously a hope we can move on up the table, so let's just put that one at the end. Probably a bit more upbeat than the songs I've picked in the past.
It's a lot more upbeat than most of the songs you pick. It's certainly a lot more upbeat than most of Terry's back catalogue anyway. So there have it, guys. I'm going to finish off with Curtis Mayfield. Move On Up. Hopefully Everton will move on up the table this week. There you go, guys. Thank you for tuning in on the Toffee Blues. We'll see you later. Just move on up toward your destination. Though you may find from time to time complication. We'll be right back.
and take the trip. Though there may be wet road ahead and you cannot slip, just move on up, for peace you'll find. Into the steeple of beautiful people, where there's only one kind. So hush not, child, and don't cry. Your folks might understand you by and by. Move on up and keep on wishing. Remember your dream is your only scheme, so keep on pushing. Take nothing less than the supreme best. Do not.